for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, we explore why no cars work in the Australian outback. It's murder pits and craziness with the 2005, some would say classic. I'm not going to say classic. I actually dug this movie, but it is called Wolf Creek. And fun fact, this is actually a movie that Hillary and I differ our opinion on, which I didn't think was a thing. But yeah, apparently it is. So I have to ask, your background with Wolf Creek. You mentioned that it came out around the same time as Hostel, and that you were Team Hostel, which of course at the time I was Team Hostel too. So what was it about this one? Like, when, how did you see this in the theater?
I didn't see this in the theater. I think I bought both of these on DVD when they came out. And you know, I just bought them cuz these were like the two hyped up, you know, horror movies, 2005, 2006, right around there. And I watched Hostel first. And for me, Hostel was about the moral compass of not being late. Because if they hadn't been back to the hostel, you know, late.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because that was really the whole deal. Like, yeah. It really shouldn't be called Hostel because it's not the hostel's fault.
Right. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, don't be late. You know, like, you know, be considerate of other people's time.
Dumb white frat boys.
Yeah. That's what happens. And I was really starting to get into like the torture porn kind of it. Okay. Like, I was like, this is new.
Which clearly this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, kids. Wolf Creek is absolutely torture porn.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I watched Hostel and I dug it. Like, things were happening, you know, very gorey, very bloody, very tense, very nail-bitey. Liked it.
Very thought-provoking.
Thought-provoking. There was a lot going on for me for Hostel. And then I followed it up immediately with Wolf Creek.
Okay. And I can see how that would be just a giant letdown. One of the reasons being is Wolf Creek has a couple of clunker moments in it, like where nothing just happens. It's very, though they're trying to build the suspense and they're trying to introduce us to these characters, it can be kind of a snooze fest too.
Yeah, it was a very long nothing for me.
Right.
And yes, you know, Australia looked very, very pretty.
That was okay. See, this was one of my points about why I like it a lot was I loved the fucking scenery in this.
Yeah, scenery was amazing. But I really didn't know anything about the characters.
No, I didn't. Yeah, okay. So fun fact, my background with this was that I either Hudson bought it or we rented it. And I can't remember what it was. But we watched up until the point where Mick is torturing the girl. And he says, sorry, kids, I always wear a rubber with you cunts. And I was like, turn it off. I'm not watching this anymore. Because I was like horrified or that there's this implication anyway that he raped her first before he decided to torture her. And so I was just like, I was just horrified by it. I was super offended and I made him turn it off. So for some reason, and then of course avoided it for like, you know, 20 years. And for some reason, when we were thinking about like adding movies to this, I was like, I want to, you know, I was like, ah, and I just blurted out, like I sleep blurted out Wolf Creek because I was, you know, anyone who listened to the last episode knows it was not our best episode.
Yeah. Train to Busan, phenomenal movie, wonky podcast.
Oh my god, was it bad, dude. It was just, this is why we don't record at 6 o'clock at night.
No, we are back at our regular scheduled time where I have had a morning cup of coffee and
as have I.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
And
so.
Murphy is nowhere around to attack Erin and scatter her, and I'm not gonna carry this episode.
Absolutely. I'm probably gonna carry this episode, and I'm okay with that. Because I was so disturbed by his behavior, before I watched this, I did some digging on John Jarrett, who plays Mick Taylor, our you know, sort of Crocodile Dundee meets Ivan Milat, who is an Australian serial killer who this is actually based off of. And I kind of was like, okay, I want to know about this guy, like how he got into this or whatever. And turns out he is like the nicest person on the planet. He used to host a Home and Gardens, like as in Better Home and Gardens TV show in Australia with his ex-wife.
I love that for him.
Right.
I did not realize that the serial killer was ever caught. That might make me like this more.
Right. Ivan Milat, who this is partially based off of, he was referred to as the Australian backpacker killer. And that's exactly what he did. I think that he's credited with 7 people, but there's definitely more. And there were just body parts, skulls, heads, whatever, just lying around this whole area where he killed all of these people. And then when they finally caught him or caught up to him, and they kind of like did the timeline because he never admitted anything, but when they finally caught up to him, they found like all of these backpackers jewelry and things that he had kept as souvenirs.
I need to like look into him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just you, like I said, Google.
Is he still like alive and
dead died of several different forms of cancer in an Australian prison.
Well,
even
that's good.
And it's funny because we've been watching, because I did this deep dive on John Jarrett, I found like Australian 60 Minutes.
Of course. Yeah, no. Yep.
Good. So they were like, they were interviewing Ivan Milat's brother, and his brother was like, I'm just glad he's dead. Like, I'm just fucking glad he's dead. I feel horrible for the people that had to go through this, for the people that lost their children. Because they were mostly teenagers. They were mostly teenagers or college kids or couples who had decided that they were just going to go backpacking like you do.
Right. Yeah, no. I mean, if you're in Australia, that... See, the big thing for me is, okay, if I went to Australia and I'm going backpacking, like, I am absolutely a prime fucking target. And it is a very hopeless situation for me.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I didn't notice. There were no phones in this movie.
Yeah, there are no phones. You are miles and miles and miles away from any sort of civilization, any sort of help, any sort of anything.
Right. There's no gas stations around.
Nothing. No. So, like, literally, now we're in this situation that I felt myself give up.
Yeah,
which is
not
normal for me.
Exactly. The fighting spirit is kind of just crushed in this film. But John Jarrett wrote 2 really awesome books called The Bastard from the Bush, which was just about his life and about getting sober. Really cool.
I know.
And he married the same woman twice. So he was married to a woman. And he cheated on her. She kicked him out for being a naughty boy. Then they reunited later, like after he'd had like a few marriages or whatever, got back together and have been together ever since.
Good for her. We do recover.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, totally Jared. There. Yeah.
Love it. So when we open this movie, we kind of see that it's, you know, they kind of like let us know that lots of backpackers disappear every year and 90% of them are recovered, but then there's this 10% that just is never found.
And it's just words on a screen of just, here you go, this is, you know, the story of, you know, some of the 10%. So you kind of already know
this is definitely that 10%, right? Yeah. So we meet our protagonists, Liz, Christy, and I called him Matt, but his name is Ben, actually. And Ben kind of looks like he stepped out of just like an Ed Hardy ad.
Ed Hardy.
He's got like the douchebag tattoos.
Yeah, I was thinking of a different, like a Genco rave scene. So this was my comparison, even watching it again this time. It reminds me of the movie Kids.
Oh my God. Wow. With better scenery
and a serial killer. Yes. I should love this movie.
Interesting. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. It was just, you know, very, you know, 1999-esque, you know, clothing and looks also... Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I actually mentioned that too. Yeah,
it's dirty
and hopelessness.
Yeah, dirty and gritty and all of the things that I normally love so much. And It just never pulls me in.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So then the girls are sending postcards home, letting their parents know that they're okay. And they're talking about this guy that they're going to road trip with to go to this place called Wolf Creek, which is the sign of a meteorite.
Crash? Yeah. Yes, a meteorite crash. You know, like, let's just go to Australia and let's go look at the big hole in the ground.
Which is really funny because that's so not something that I would ever do.
As I was watching it, I was just like, who is doing? And then I was like, I mean, the Grand Canyon is one of, like, the biggest tourist attractions in America. So I guess that's, but then I would think that people would go there and there are no people there.
Yeah, yeah. And we see this, we see a lot of really cool, like, Australian scenery, right? Like, we see the beach, which is just fucking gorgeous. And we see them drive through all these areas. In fact, the area that they drive through where it starts to rain hadn't rained in that area in 10 years.
Oh, and that's real rain.
That's, like, a real thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, all right.
It, like, happened during the filming, and they were like, let's just leave it in.
Yeah, no, let's leave it in. And that was another where I was just like, when they pull up and they go, yeah, it's raining. We're going to go hike for 3 miles. And I went, oh.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, that's so not a good idea. Oh, and then the fact that they pulled out a map was very exciting.
Yeah, no, the map was cool. And, you know, like, just the, you know, sing-along car ride. I was in for that, like, you know, I do love a good car trip.
And that car is clearly a lemon, or there's something wrong where cars just don't work in the Australian Outback.
Yeah, because all the watches stop at 6:30 and the cars die and it's aliens.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. And it's aliens.
Yeah.
One of my favorite lines is, well, do you think he really has a girlfriend back in Sydney? And she's like, yeah, because he's a bloke.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why would he lie? Because he's a guy.
Because he's a fucking dude. Yeah, exactly.
A guy.
I like when they first, like, have their first stop off. It's basically just like it literally looks like just a bunch of extras from Spring Breakers.
Yeah. A bunch of extras from Spring Breakers. And it really just solidifies. It gives you the impression that just all Australian men are awful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's there to just, like, fuck in a pool or a hostel. Because I think they're staying at some sort of hostel because there's, like, a bunk bed.
Yes. Yeah, no, this was kind of the Australian version of hostel for me. And when you pulled up to Wolf Creek and it started raining, a 3-hour hike in the rain to see a hole in the ground, I was like, no, go back to the hostel and this could all be avoided.
Absolutely. The end. It's over. Yeah, a lot of tribal tats, a lot of early aughts haircuts, a lot of alcohol and shirtlessness and boogie boards.
Yeah, lots of tribal tattoos and the Shane hair from the L Word.
Oh, yes. There's a lot of Shane. Yes, thank you. I know, man. I really wish I could pull off haircuts like that where she just, like, wakes up and her hair is just like, I was like, dude, when I fucking cut my hair short, and this happens at least once a year, I look like just like the co-captain of a woman's softball league in the 90s. It's not good.
I have tried to get the Shane hair so many times, and finally my hairstylist, like, that I have now just had to tell me, this is all texture. Like, you will have to wake up and do this. Hair doesn't do this, and your hair especially is not going to do this, so this would be waking up an hour early and, like, flat ironing and styling and wax and doing this and doing that. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm not going to do any of that.
Yeah, I'm not going to do, exactly. I'm not going to wake up. If there's a hairstyle that involves me having to buy a round brush and wake up earlier to style it, it is not fucking happening, dude. Yeah. I will grow my hair down to my ass before I'm like, no, I guess it's time to get a cut.
Yep. Yeah, no, and that's rinse and repeat. Yeah. And then dye it a fun color, Hillary.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. And then Ben pulls out a guitar, and I thought, please don't play Dave Matthews.
Please don't play Dave Matthews. Please don't ever sing and serenade. Hot take, girls hate it.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I haven't met a girl yet that was like, you know, you really won me over with the guitar. Never once. Never once. And guys, like, keep trying it. And you just see it in movies all the time in, like, the late 90s and aughts and everything.
It seems to be, like, a thing. Like, thankfully, before Slink started playing guitar for me on Zoom, like, I had already found him attractive, was already liking him, so that when he finally did play guitar, it was like, oh, cool, he played guitar for me. Like, that's so great. That, you know, 30 seconds of film that I have of him. But no, if he'd led with a guitar, I'd be like, oh, God damn it. I swear to God. Like, when I was in my 20s, I don't know if you can relate to this. When I was in my 20s, if you were dating a guy and he had a guitar, there was a 90% chance he knew how to play More Than Words by Extreme.
By Extreme, yes. Knew how to play More Than Words. Or something from Fish. Like, that's just 9.5 hours fucking long. And you're just like, oh my God, I just came here to get high, dude. Like, please sell me the shrooms. I do not want to have a Grateful Dead concert.
Oh, yeah, because they're a jam band. What just happened? They pull
over and they make a campfire.
Yeah, as you do, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably gets freezing at night. So, yeah. Like,
in the Australian outback.
Yeah, like, nothing that they did up to this point was alarming or weird to me. I think that they did make the best decisions that they could until they realize they're in trouble.
Yeah, then it's exactly.
Then it's bad. Exactly. Then it's all bad.
Now, important to point out that our serial killer, Mick Taylor, doesn't actually make an appearance in this movie until 40 minutes in.
Yeah, no, it is a lot of nothing without any backstory, without their relationship.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because now you're bringing up all the shit that I didn't like.
Yeah. Like, and to me, that's what really, because I'm watching it again, you know, last night. I'm just like, okay, you know, you begged for like a foreign film month. Aaron really wanted to watch this one. Okay, we're going to go in. We're going to do it. Maybe I'm a different person now, so maybe this is going to be good, and I'm just going to watch it by itself. And 45 minutes in, and I'm like, okay, so we finally got some tension or some drama.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Jack is on the scene.
Exactly. You're not wrong. Okay, so they're back on the road again, and I saw what I thought were ostriches, and then I realized that they were emus because they're at Emu Creek.
Yeah, they are in Emu Creek, and I did think that it was interesting that they just kept going from creek to, it was like Goose Creek, and then something Creek, then Emu Creek, and then they were going to Wolf Creek, and I was just like, we're just nothing but creeks and animals.
Yeah, the weirdest moment is when they pull over to sort of this local bar. It gets very TCM. It gets very Texas Chainsaw, where it's that, like, well, we're clearly smarter than the locals.
Yeah, we are smarter. This is definitely, you know, the all Australian men are awful, because they're just, like, asking if we can gangbang your girlfriends.
Yeah,
like,
and the guy who actually asks if he can gangbang the girlfriend is played McPhee. McGee, on Sons of Anarchy, the Ireland years, the whole Irish Sons of Anarchy season that was actually shot in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch.
There's like one panoramic shot of Ireland and the rest of it is North Hollywood. So, but yeah, the guy who's like, you know, we want to gangbang your girlfriends or whatever. That guy was the head of the Irish Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay. Is he Australian?
He's actually Australian. Okay.
I like that even better.
You'll notice in Sons of Anarchy that there are a lot of people playing Irish people that are clearly not Irish.
Not Irish. Okay. No. All right. Good to know. Good to know.
I like when they're in the car and he's like, well, we should have Tai Chi'd their ass.
Yeah. No, very like, so you are from Australia. You're kind of a pussy, Ben.
Because you're from, remember what Mick says about him, because he asks, he's like, where are you from? And he's like, I'm from Sydney. And he's like, oh, the poof town, which poof, by the way, poof in Australia is a gay gentleman.
Yeah, that's, I put that together when Mick was kind of reading him up and down.
Right, right. So there's even a sign when they get to Wolf Creek that says no camping, It's a walking trail only. Then it starts to rain. That's when we get the, it hasn't rained here in 10 years. There's rain. They even see skulls just kind of lying around the meteorite area.
Yeah, you know, just random animal skulls. And they agree to go on a 3-hour hike in the rain to go look at the hole in the ground. And then they're just like huddled under these umbrellas. And then Liz walks off. Ben kisses her.
Right.
And like it just one thing happened, and then this.
Yeah, it's almost like the first 40 minutes of this movie are really designed just to lead up to the introduction of Mick.
Yeah, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah, I fucking love John Jarrett so much.
He carried this entire movie on his back, because you absolutely like him in the beginning. You know, like he is there to help. You know, your car's broken. Okay, I'm here to help. I'm not going to charge you.
The battery terminal. And then I looked at Slink and I went, is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Because well, I don't take care of my car. I take it in. I don't know when anything's wrong unless something pops up and says, bitch, you need to take
it into the thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, and he's just like, yeah, you know, I can fix it, no problem. I'm just going to have to tow you, and, you know, I'm here to help. And he seems like such a nice, warm, and endearing character.
Like, almost like a Steve Irwin with, like, a really sinister giggle.
Yes. No, it's a good, that is good. Yeah, no, Steve Irwin. Because, yeah, if you ran into Steve Irwin, of course I'm going to let you help me. Like, thank you. And, you know, in comparison to the other guys that they met in the bar that were just like so crude and awkward and uncomfortable. Yes, I'm in stranded in the middle of nowhere. My car doesn't work. I'm going to allow you to help me. And
right.
So that is still the right decision in that moment.
Absolutely. And Mick he presents himself as just very nice. He's like, I can take you back to my garage. And they're like, well, we don't have much money. And he's like, that's okay. I'm not going to charge you. You know, you wacky townies or whatever the hell he called
them.
Oh, tourists.
And then they're just like, well, can you take us to town? And he's like, it's the complete opposite way. I'm going south. Then they all, you know, load up and start to go. And they are in this car for hours.
Yeah, they're like trying to figure out. They're like, you know, we've been here. We've been in this car for a long time. Like, yeah. I know he's taking us to his garage, but he is really taking us out. And there's this feeling also of just being disoriented, you know, because you're just, it's dark. Mm-hmm. You're in the outback. Yep. There's nothing around.
Yeah. No, no lights, no nothing. They all go to sleep as they're being towed in the car, and they wake up and they are still being towed. So that really adds to that feeling of hopelessness, because even if, obviously, you know, going into this, things are going to go badly. So just knowing there's nowhere for me to fucking go at all. There is not, you know, okay, yeah, run down to your local McDonald's.
Right. And I consider myself somewhat athletic in the sense that, like, I could probably lift some shit, right? But, like, I don't consider myself athletic to the point that I could be running through the Australian outback in a direction, because I don't know directions either.
No, yeah, no, I'm not.
Head south. Are you fucking kidding me?
Right, yeah, no, make a left at McDonald's. That's how you have to talk.
That's how you have to talk to me. Absolutely. Yeah. Use your landmarks, not your directions.
Yes, yeah, no, Talon makes fun of me for that all the time.
All the time.
Because he has an amazing sense of direction. I can just drop him in an area for work, and in a day.
Yeah.
He knows his way around. He is very directionally centered.
Yeah. So, you know. So Slink has an eidetic memory, which means he has a photographic memory. So everything that he fucking picks up, he remembers in like a steel trap kind of level of way.
Oh, that would annoy me.
I'm lucky if I remember what I ate yesterday.
Yeah, no, that would really annoy me.
But he's just like, oh, no, that was la, la, la at this and this, and this is where you go. Which is great, because when I am delivering food, I get lost a lot of time. Because we end up in like some like really nice cul-de-sac in Bel Air, and I can't figure out my way back. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, you go left here, and you go right here, and we're going right back to the road. And I'm like, thank God for you.
Oh, that.
Forget it. I would never know.
So probably very handy in movies, though.
Oh, very much so, yeah. Because, well, yeah, it's also kind of annoying in fights.
Oh, yeah. Is he normally right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I'll be like, oh, yeah, because you said da-da in this. And I went, no, I didn't. And I'm like, no, I probably totally fucking said that.
Oh.
I know. So, Mick takes them back to the garage. They all kind of like they're all kind of huddled around a fire, you know, exchanging stories. Mick tells them he's basically a sniper. He's a sniper hunter.
Yeah. And, you know, he gives them water.
Killing. Oh, right. He does. Very important. Uh-huh. He gives them water, in quotes. Yeah. And
he drinks none of it.
Right. He drinks none of it. They have a belch off.
Yeah. And then Ben farts, and that's grotesque.
Yeah.
Too far. There are ladies here.
You're taking it too far, buddy. Yeah. You're taking it too far. So he leaves them by the fire, and Liz even comes up to him and says, hey, thank you for helping us out. Because at this point, Ben has already kind of taken the piss out of Crocodile Dundee, kind of making fun of him.
Yeah. It seems like it's all like good natured.
Almost like ugly American kind of bullshit.
Kind of. Yeah. But also like Mick was, you know, talking shit about, you know, like that he's such a man's man, and you know, you're from the gay capital of Australia, you know, you poofer and whatever else. So if we're like throwing banter, I really don't feel like Ben was the dick.
Right.
It was right. You're taking a shot at me, I'm taking a shot at you. And this is what friends do. This is how we build friendships, and Mick can't take being the butt of the joke. So really, you're the loser. Mickalus.
Right. I guess it's Mick who can't take a joke. So then shit starts to get wild.
Yeah. Then it is now very bad. And now I agree with almost no decision that we make.
Right. Liz wakes up in a murder shack zip tied.
Yes. And lays down and cries for the day.
Yeah, right. It is. Because it's an entire day that goes by.
That she lays down and cries with shards of glass all around her, things around her all the time, and she is in plastic zip ties, and you lay there and cry. Fuck you, Liz.
So she cuts herself out of her zip ties.
Finally.
She falls out the window. It's deserted. The car is in pieces. She looks and sees what I think are Ben's Keds.
She sees his shoes and like their sleeping bags
and blood
and everything. And without knowing the backstory now, because I am under the impression of I don't really know you, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I am leaving. I'm seeing this amount of blood. Your shoes aren't on your feet. I'm in a murder shack. It's not going well. I'm leaving.
Right. So she starts to take off, and then she hears the blood curdling Christie scream.
Yes. And again, I don't know where I am. This and that. Okay. We have cars here. We have fuel here. If we're fighting, okay. However, this is a fight to the death. This is a one and done shot. Because I need your car to get out of here.
Also, did it seem like Christy and Liz were that close?
No! That was my problem. Like, there are friends that absolutely, if I wake up, I gotta go and investigate. I need to know if you are alive, if you are dead. And those friends, I also know that if I show up, we are fucking fighting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, like, those are the friends that I will go back for. But if I don't know you, right, and we just wound up on, like, a bus trail together, I'm sorry, homie. Like, I don't know you that well. I will carry the guilt, I guess. I just...
Yeah, so she looks into this, like, separate room. It's almost like a garage. And she sees Christy. Christy's bloody. She's been tortured. Apparently, the performance of Christy was so good with the crying and the pleading and everything that the director actually thought that John Jared had taken it too far, busted into the room and called cut. And they were looking at him like he's fucking nuts because they're like, what are you doing? We were so in the zone.
Right. Yeah. And it was so good that you believed us. Way to go.
Right, yeah. So he, Mick is like, Mick's got like a tank top on, like, yeah. he's just relishing in the torture of this woman, up to and including leading her to believe that she has already been raped by saying, well, I always wear rubber with you cunts, you know, basically implying that like any of the out of towner women.
Yeah. And also to notice There is a decomposing body.
Uh-huh. There's a
female decomposing body. And I think did she have a face?
No head.
No head.
Yeah. It is literally just a torso that I felt anyway, that he had been fucking this thing up until like 2 days ago when I got here.
So did Slink.
Yeah, that was absolute, like,
no, clearly he's been fucking that corpse.
Yeah, it's not been good for the body that is tied to the wall where it is just like tits and a vagina.
Oh god, that's so gross.
Yeah, it's again, hopeless situation.
Yeah,
very hopeless situation. So it's
the fact that she was pleading, please don't kill me, I was like, meh. Yeah, you're going the wrong way with this. Like,
yeah. Just please kill me.
Take me out, please.
Because you can still fuck me, and
I don't need to be here. Cue lady on the wall. Right. We're good.
Like, just fucking kill me. Because he's torturing her. He chops off her fucking pinky finger.
Yeah, it's not going well for Christy. Christy's not having a good time.
It's pretty bad. And then Liz actually sets fire to a car, which then gets Mick's attention, and one of my thoughts was, man, Mick is hairy.
Yeah, Mick, very, very hairy. Probably shouldn't be around fire.
Holy shit.
I did like the distraction of it, but then the very next, I was like, okay, like, we're good. We've gotten him out. He believes that, you know, it was just like a fire, because he has fire everywhere and gas cans and everything else. However, her interaction then with Christy, I want to leave Christy again. I want to beat her to death. I'm going to kill you so you could just be the rape murder girl on the way.
Right, because Christy is like devastated, crying, like kind of just doesn't really want to get out of there.
Right. Not at any means necessary.
Right, she's not
moving at a clip.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Christy, you stress me out so fucking bad. Liz is really, you know, about to fight. And I go, okay, so we're going to go get Christy. Christy, you got to get on board that we have to fucking kill this man and figure out which one of the cars we can drive out of here.
And then there's that moment where Liz grabs the gun and shoots him, and it actually like buzzes past. I think it takes off his ear.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the neck ear shot because she doesn't know how to use a fucking gun. And then he falls down, and I go, okay, there are weapons everywhere.
Right, exactly. Like, this is the moment where I kind of thought she was going to pick up the butt of the gun and just, like, start beating him with it.
Yeah, no, she hits him.
Like, a couple little love taps.
Yeah, on the back. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I'm like, no, you take off its fucking head because it's a man. And if it doesn't have a head, it's not going to hurt you anymore. And if it doesn't have a head and still comes after you, it's a different movie. And it's a different fight, and where it's now over.
There's also no music in this movie.
No. No, there's only the music in the car.
It's very similar to, like, with Texas Chainsaw, where it's just dark, ominous tones.
Yeah, very, the dark, ominous tones.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Rescues. Oh, I'm so glad you got that.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. I love it.
Yeah. Bow. Okay. So, rescues her, puts her in the car. No fucking keys. Has to go back to the body, get his keys out of his pants.
Yeah. And again, take off his fucking head. But we don't do that.
We just let him stay there.
Yep. And, you know, we get the keys and we go for a little ride in the dark, right, where we don't know where we fucking are at a 100 miles an hour. And right, guess what? We crash.
Exactly.
We almost go into a meteor.
Yeah. Because we don't know where the fuck we are.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm like, I don't even know where they are. And then I'm like, how did they end up at the meteorite site again?
Yeah. And no, just got to be another meteorite site, unless he just drove them around in a fucking circle.
And I don't know. Right. And we will never know.
No. Yeah. He could have been 20 minutes from Wolf Creek. There's no telling.
Exactly. So I wrote, they're out in the outback. No idea where the road is. Almost rides into the crater. They're going to push the car into the crater so that he thinks the car crashed.
Yeah. And just the absolute insanity of trying to drive that fast in the dark or not. And if you believe like that he's gone, why are you driving so fucking crazy? You don't need to because you know he's still alive. So you fucked up.
So then we get this really beautiful image. Like, the cinematography in this film is just chef's kiss. I really loved it. There's this beautiful image of Mick standing in front of their in front of the crater, like with just this light just lighting him in the back, and it's just it's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, that scene is very attractive, and it is tension building of just it's supposed to be tension building, but since we didn't cut off his head, of course he's still there.
Yeah, yeah. And then Liz tells Christy, I will be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, what? I was like,
stay here. Yeah. I will be back in 5 minutes. If I am not back in 5 minutes, start walking south.
Yeah,
just, walk this way.
Yeah, walk that, because all of a sudden I know where I am in the dark.
No, I know. And I was like sitting there going like, dude, I'm not gonna fucking like walk this way. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, Run DMC. I'm not doing any of this. But Christy is a fucking mess. She is really just dead weight and just holding on to Liz and just holding on to her for dear fucking life. And I went, yeah, no, this is why I don't go back for you.
Yeah, Christy's like, please don't go. Please don't leave me. Please don't go. Please don't leave me. And Liz is just like, I'll be back in 5 minutes, right? So Liz goes basically into his murder, you know, compound, yeah, right? And finds clippings of missing backpackers. And then she goes down a murder mine shaft.
Yeah, and just... There's a whole lot of just, like, random peach. She's, like, looking around the wall, murder here, murder there.
Yeah, it goes a little, you know what? It gets a little House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses. Very, very much. Good nod off.
And
yeah.
And then into this literal murder pit, which is just filled with body parts and bodies and bones and corpses and whatever. And then she finds, this was a little hard. She finds old video cameras, and obviously the complete video nerd in me was like, oh man, them cameras.
She
these beautiful Hi8 cameras.
And just you have to, I think in order to appreciate this, you needed to be of the age of when your dad first bought like the very first like VHS,
right, like the one that he had to carry around on his back.
Yes. And just how, if you had the family that had the camcorder, you know instantly what it signifies of how many families this has been done to. And then there is the shot of her opening them and watching them and just...
And seeing, like, families with children.
Yeah, families with children, and just the pull-up of... We are at Wolf Creek and, you know, clearly his hunting grounds. And then, you know, the friendly stranger just pulls up. And then they go and she finds Ben's camera and starts watching it and sees his...
He has been following them the entire time.
Yeah, he...
Like, even when they were at the weird cafe.
Yeah, when they were being threatened to be gangbanged, it would have been a better... They should have offered up to do that instead of continue to drive. It would have been better for everyone.
Now, Liz finds a car, so we're, like, super excited because she actually finds a car, and then she gets stabbed through the car seat in the back.
Yeah, and just, it was very Michael Myers-esque, like, the original Halloween where, but it made sense to me why Michael Myers was in the car. It didn't make so much sense to me why Mick was in the car. He doesn't seem like a game player. He's witty and talky, but...
See, I don't know. I think he is very much of the man is the most dangerous prey kind of thing.
I do agree with that. I just feel like he really enjoys the hunt of it and just the lying in wait in hopes that she's going to pick the right car.
That's a lot of patience.
Yeah, with 500 cars on this property, it just... I didn't like that scene. I like the stab of just he's there and now, you know, we're bloody, because this is the best scene to me.
Because she, you know, she gets stabbed. She's sort of like falling down. Then he slices off all her fingers in one fell swoop.
Yeah. One fell swoop. You know, that's not a knife. This is a knife. Right.
And then severs her spinal cord.
Yeah. That is at the absolute horrifying moment.
Oh.
Of head on a stick.
Head on a stick is that your spinal cord has been severed.
Yeah.
You are, and you're still alive. You're
still awake. You are conscious. there is now, I can't off myself, I can't get out of this. And you do not know what happens to Liz after this point. She is a head on the stick on the floor, and now we got to go get Christy.
Exactly. Now, Christy realizes Liz is not coming back, so it's time to set off on foot. She's running barefoot onto her road. The sun's coming up. She sees a car in the distance. There's this old white guy. He picks her up, and then basically Mick shows off his sniper skills.
Yeah, shoots him at such a rate. And I was like, why are we getting out of the car? Like, when he flags him down and she jumps in, fucking drive, homie. You gotta drive.
He's like, hold on, let me go into my trunk.
Yeah, let me go get you a blanket. It is 100 fucking degrees out here. I don't need a blanket. I literally just need you to drive. It's fine. I don't know if you're in on this. So I was in a car accident. And that's all I was thinking, was just tell him you were in a car accident. You just needed to go to the hospital. I'm fine. Everything's fine. There's nobody man trying to kill me.
Absolutely.
Crocodile Dundee on acid is not coming after us. No. It's totally fine.
And I don't know you.
So then she gets in the car because she's going to basically like take off in this poor old man's car. Yep. And Mick is barreling down the highway in a muscle car with a sniper rifle. Total like death proof.
Death proof, yes. Very Footloose game of chicken.
I love that. Yeah, I know. I was like, when is he in a Dodge Charger?
Yeah, like your tiny little, you know, four-door sedan is not comparable to the car that he is going to chase you down with. But, I mean, they keep up and they're knocking each other off the road and then...
She's laughing maniacally a la Sally at the end of TCM, and he just fucking finds her, shoots her in the back, and she's done.
Yeah, that's it. Just I'm just like, okay, so the final girl who I thought was Liz, she's head on a stick. That's gonna be very bad for her. I hope she is dead, because what an awful fucking outcome for her. But we never find out. Christy is now done and out.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay.
Right, and then we haven't seen Ben for like 40 minutes.
Yeah, no, Ben has just been a mystery. You believe that he's been dead the whole time because you see all the blood around his shoes.
Right, exactly. But we cut to, and Ben is actually strung up on a wall, very Jesus-y.
Yeah, no, he's crucified and guarded by a big dog.
Yeah, being menaced by some very angry puppies.
Yeah, little murder dog.
Oh, no.
Just like Murphy.
And then Ben gets loose and just, you know, takes off in his affliction jeans.
Yes, his True Religion brand. But then there's a solar eclipse.
Yeah, there's a solar eclipse, and he's just sobbing, trying to stay warm. There's kangaroos everywhere, and then a couple pulls up in a fucking VW van.
Yeah, speaking German.
Yep.
And they rescue him.
And
motherfucker gets medevaced out.
Yeah, medevaced out, like rescued. And Ben is alive and well.
Yeah, Ben is alive and well and basically going to participate in what looks like some sort of a documentary, some sort of like court TV type documentary at the end of this movie, and motherfucking scene.
Yeah, and then they're just like,
credits.
We never found the backpacker. We don't know what happened to them. We, pretty much like, don't come to Australia. That's what it is. It's do not come to Australia unless you're Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. So the things that I really enjoyed about this movie, I love John Jarrett's performance as Mick. I think he's amazing. He actually took his tone of voice from his father, because his father was a very, as he put it, gruff alcoholic. And so that's how he like dropped his voice down like that, because normally when he talks, he just sounds like a normal, sweet Australian man. And so that was when, you know, he got chosen to do this part. Like, I've never seen part two, and I know there's apparently a TV series.
Yeah, I saw, because once I put in Wolf Creek, you know, into the smart TV, it was just like 2005 or 2006. And I went, that's the same movie. Why is it a different year? But that's what my TV told me. And I was like, do you want Wolf Creek 2 or the season of Wolf Creek? And I went,
yeah, and Tubi apparently has all of this.
All of it. And I just went, okay, let's see if I love Wolf Creek this time around. And then if so, I would love to watch, like, the TV. I do love to binge a season. I'm a big binge watcher. And I do always yearn for, like, more horror shows. So, and then I watched this again, and I went,
that's so funny. Yeah, so, like, I love the cinematography. I love John Jarrett. And I really enjoyed the death scenes to a certain point. I think I probably enjoyed the death scenes in Hostel more just because I felt like they were more deserved of it.
Yes. Very, very deserved of it. And
these were just two girls that really didn't do anything. Yeah, like, no. but because they really didn't do anything, we also didn't really get to meet them.
Right. Yeah. No, there's no, I needed more of a backstory. And then also, if we're going to fight, then we need to fight. And then it just seemed very, it seemed like these characters were written very wishy-washy.
Yeah.
And then I don't fall in love with you. I'm not rooting for you. And then I'm also not rooting against you. I'm not invested any which way. Really, the person who carried the film was Mick, but I don't want
to. Wait, we don't really want to, like, jock hard for Mick?
Yeah, I'm not like, yeah, get him, Mick, because they deserve it, because these were horrible even fucking women or any. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah. So the rest of the movie is just like, meh. Like, that's how I feel about it, was that the stuff that I like, obviously. So, like, I could just watch a John Jarrett movie next time, apparently. I'm going to look at his entire catalog. Apparently, he was in this movie called Picnic at Hanging Rock, which I guess came out, I want to say it was like the early 80s or the late 70s, whatever. But it was a Mel Gibson original type vehicle. Like, he was like when he was a kid. And John Jarrett is a fucking stone cold fox.
Okay. This is our era. This is really where we shine in the late 70s, early 80s.
So we're like, ooh, mad fuckable. Yeah. I liked it.
Good for us.
Good for us. All right. So, yes, that's exactly how I would say the movie is. It's a one and done. I think it's like you could see it and then be like, all right, I think we've done this movie. There's no, I feel like with Devil's Rejects, even there are so many moments where the fight back is always, it's like, oh, cool, like they're going to get their revenge or whatever. Like, and so those are rewatch moments, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, those are rewatch. And I'm thinking next year when we do our foreign film, maybe we do The Loved Ones.
Okay, so that's on the list for next. Yeah, because the next movie that we're going to be doing is called Let the Right One In, and it's the original Norwegian.
I believe Norwegian. It might maybe Denmark, but in blonde hair, blue eyes. We speak a different language. We all know I'm trying really hard to not be racist as fuck, but
oh my god, I love it. I love it so much. So yes, that will be next Monday.
And maybe you'll not love this one.
Because I don't know.
I'm
looking forward to it just because I'm happy that we've been introduced to just a lot of new stuff, and seems like new stuff will come on and I will watch it and be like, oh my god, I really like this, and I'm kind of coming out of my shell when it comes to that.
Yeah, no, I'm so loving this year of just, you know, like the new movies and foreign horror films. So even though Wolf Creek is not one of my top picks, I loved doing it and just discussing the things that I liked and didn't like.
That's how I feel about it too. So shout out this week is going to a YouTube show called Back to the Sofa. So this show started off as these two guys, Kyle and Chris. And it started off because these were guys who are our age who grew up with Corey Feldman. And they wanted to start exploring Corey Feldman's career.
Okay.
But then once they got into it and they once got into like his live performances and stuff, they were just as confused as all of us are.
Yeah, no, that's what. Yeah. I mean, you jock hard for Corey and I want you to make a comeback. And then you do something and I go,
seriously, it's so ridiculous. Just the dancing and the songs are, they don't even have like a melody to them. It was terrible, but they did quite a few episodes of Surreal Life, quite a few where Corey versus Vince Neil, like, and they also kind of decided they were going to do other reality shows. So they did Breaking Bonaducci, which I fucking love so much. And then they did Surreal Life. They did Breaking Bonaducci. They did this really terrible Corey Feldman, Corey Haim movie from the 90s. It was like their only erotic thriller that they ever did, called Blown Away with Nicole Eggert.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. If the Coreys were in it, come on. You know.
We've seen it.
Yeah. You know we've seen
it. We've definitely seen it. So It's really, anyway, it's a really funny YouTube show, and it's become this, like, thing that Slink and I do now, where, like, it's like, oh, it's time, you know, they're gonna run another episode, so we're gonna, like, watch one of them, you know, one of the episodes of them just, like, sitting there talking about this, and you know, and being as diplomatic as they possibly can be, and it's just fun, and also... watching, like, doing the rewatch of Rock of Love just makes me hate Bret Michaels so much more.
I don't know if you have, like, an at to the Sofa Guys, but if they could do the Brady and the Top Model
right, because they're doing, okay, so they're doing Surreal Life, right, exactly, that's a good point, yeah. The My Fair Brady,
oh god, please do My Fair Brady, because I will absolutely tune in, subscribe, and follow immediately for that show.
I sent them a thing, and I said, you guys should do Scott Baio is 50 and Single, which is a show.
Yeah, no, that is, yeah.
Show on VH1, yeah. Where Scott Baio was basically like, I don't understand why I'm still single. Brr. And then, like, he's talking to, like, Aaron Moran about their first sexual encounter, and she was like, yeah, you were really worried that your penis was too small. And he goes, yes, I was. And I was like,
good for you, Aaron.
Okay. Yeah, right? Throwing some shade at the chotch man.
So, notice, she also didn't say, and you have nothing to worry about.
Right? No, she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't say that at all. She's like,
real fear. Yeah. And I understand where that was coming from.
I honor your feelings, Mr. Baio.
You were in a safe place. To feel that vulnerability with all of
this,
the people.
On this VH1 show. Yeah, right? Yeah, I feel like they need to be, they definitely need to pull out, like, a Celebrity Fit Club, Celebrity Rehab. Those were just such great shows in general.
Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, what a great show. What was the best about Celebrity Rehab was the one where Busey shows up and he tells them that he's showing up as a counselor, and they're like, no, you're being admitted.
Yeah. Oh, he was so great. Duff. I was riding so hard for Duff. I was, and Shell Shock from Crazy Town.
Yeah, Steven Adler.
Oh.
GNR. Yeah, no, it was wild. It's a fucking wild ass show. But yes, if you guys are looking for,
I'm gonna have to watch now.
If you guys are looking for an awesome YouTube show that has now, like I said, doesn't leave our TV, definitely Back to the Sofa. And they even have a Facebook group as well. So it's pretty awesome, and they have been really nice, and they're very interactive with their fans, which I love. So. Next week, it is indeed Let the Right One In. If you would like to at us on social media, you can do so on Instagram at Manic Movie Monday Podcast. Also, Manic Movie Monday on Facebook. So we will see you guys next Monday. And as always,
stay manic.